So today we are very fortunate that we are having His grace Ram Gadhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text number 54. I was given 53 in the news, but I think last week I spoke on 53. So I'm supposed to be speaking 54, and I'll also read 55. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya. Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Haya. Translation: the verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. Purport: according to the astronomical calculations, a lava is 1/11th of a second. Text number 55. Tulayama lavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utasishah. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices, elevation to heavenly planets, or merging into the existence of Supreme. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. We are going to have discussion from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text number 54 and 55. In our last week discussion, interestingly from last week, you know, there were no other speakers who did the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in our last week discussion, we were discussing about why the devotees and Mahajanas are so important for our Krishna consciousness. We also discussed about the importance of hearing with Shraddha, and because of the Shraddha we do service, and because of service we get relationship, and because of the relationship we will always feel attached, and definitely we also feel separation. And we discussed about few examples. This week the shloka and the context remains the same, where Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatana Goswami about the importance of Vaishnava association. This is a very famous verse, sadhu sanghe sarva shastra hai. It may sound that it is an exaggerating statement. The exaggeration that people may perceive is that how is that 1/11th of a second can bring in all success? How is it humanly possible? We'll analyze this, then we'll switch to the next verse and reflect on them. There are two examples that I would like to give to reflect on this 1/11th of a second association. When Sanat Kumaras, all the four of them, they were actually impersonalists at some point in time. They were having not impersonalists, they were Brahmavadis. So they were the Brahma Jyoti, and they were not having any mellow. The aroma from the Supreme Lord's garland, just the aroma from the Supreme Lord's garland motivated them, and eventually they developed desire for pure love of Godhead. But just because of the aroma, they just developed the desire, but the direction and further development of devotional sentiments were because of Narada Munis coming in contact with them. Narada Muni was actually passing through and because they had the opportunity to come in contact with the Supreme Lord's garland's aroma, they naturally developed some inclination. And that inclination to serve the Supreme Lord attracted Narada Muni there. The message here is that in our devotional journey, as Mahaprabhu has been explaining, Vaishnava's association happens to be an integral and inevitable stage. But that stage or that opportunity is provided to us by the Supreme Lord when we show some inclination and some shraddha towards the process of devotional service. So it is like, I develop shraddha towards the process of devotional service, and the genuinity of the shraddha is evaluated, and when the genuinity is intact, then Krishna sends pure bona fide devotional arrangement for us to take our devotion from that point in time towards forward. For us to get a devotee's association, to get even a lava matra association, some minimum shraddha is required towards the process of devotional service. So that is why shraddha towards Krishna attracts devotees, and lava matra association with devotees helps us develop attraction towards Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's meeting with hippies is not a chance. It is not a fluke. Srila Prabhupada's meeting with people in Bowery in New York is completely an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Desperateness in knowing the truth, desperateness in getting the real happiness, definitely attracts, definitely facilitates the association of pure devotees. So before even we get pure devotees association, so a person can get devotees association by two ways. One is by fully causeless mercy of the devotee, which means you can't say why. Rupa Goswami Pad explains in Nectar of Devotion that causelessness cannot be explained. It is purely causeless. Just the kindness of a devotee is the only reason why that causelessness is existing. The second reason why we get an association of devotee is shraddha towards devotional life. Little shraddha, little inclination. Not even devotional life, little genuinity in our quest for reality. So look at the beauty of this arrangement. Krishna is not even expecting us to be a devotee, to get a devotee's association. Krishna is not even expecting us to have knowledge to get a devotee's association. Krishna not even expecting us that we should be knowing something about devotion. Even though we may have completely impersonalist view, like, you know, Sanat Kumara's, even though we may be completely degraded like hippies, because of either coming in contact with some fortunate transcendental environment, in case of Sanat Kumara's, in coming in contact with the aroma from the Lord's garland, or because of frustration in the materialistic world, they have developed a genuine shraddha within our heart. So hence, for us to get a moment's association of a devotee, we need to have that genuinity. So there is no siddhanta required. There is no prior information, prior knowledge required. All that is expected out of us is be a genuine and a hungry, curious, eager person for knowing the truth. Unfortunately, our devotional journey is wobbly, is completely shaking, because most of the time we miss this genuinity. Somewhere or the other, we have this mixed up, adulterated view in our Krishna consciousness, which makes us people with vested interest in Krishna consciousness. We will come to that little later. So my first reflection is, to get lava matra, which will eventually give all success, which is eventually considered as something greater than heavenly planets, greater than all the other accomplishments in devotional journey, which is greater than all the benediction that somebody could expect for, that lava matra, to get that lava matra, only one thing is expected out of us, which is our genuine desire, sincere or genuine quest for knowing the truth. Because the spiritual journey will be baseless if it is hypocritical. So, what sustains our Krishna consciousness is also the reason for beginning the Krishna consciousness. The sustenance of Krishna consciousness is on the basis of our genuine interest in being Krishna conscious, for which Krishna helps us by sending a pure devotee. And what helps us in beginning of Krishna consciousness is also the same one, which is our genuine endeavor in practicing Krishna consciousness. This genuinity is something that Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this 1.18.13 purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, when one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apunarbhava, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria. And because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. So the principle here is about how sincere I am in my endeavor to practice Krishna consciousness, so that Krishna makes an arrangement to get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord. In our devotional journey, until and otherwise, we come to a self-realized soul platform. We pass through three different stages: sensual stage, mental stage, intellectual stage. to operate on the platform of soul takes its own course of transformation. The transformation of sensual, mental, and intellectual needs little prudence and genuinity. Until and otherwise, I start to accept. Until and otherwise, I reflect and realize that I need to get out of all sorts of phantasmagoria, the Prabhupada writes here, that are seemingly alluring, that are seemingly frustrating, that are seemingly great, unless and otherwise I consciously step myself above them, I will not be able to take advantage of a devotee association. I'll give an example. We are traveling towards a particular destination. It's a hypothetical example, so just for a moment, let us keep aside our technology know-how side. Let us shift backwards 25 years or 20 years, that there were no Google Maps, there were no technology available to give us direction. Typically in Indian ecosystem, we have this habit of asking somebody, hey, how to go to Pune, how to go to Bangalore, how to go to this place, how to go to that place. So our journey of 20 hours, 18 hours, 16 hours journey, if the guy whom we stop by and ask for a direction, that direction saves us lot of our endeavor and time to reach towards our destination. In the 20-hour journey, or in the 16-hour journey, or our 18-hour journey, the amount of time that we would have been with a devotee, or been with a person who would have given direction, is hardly few seconds or few minutes. There are a lot of, you know, assumptions that need to take, assuming that this person is giving a right direction, assuming that there are no directions. So let us not get into the details of this example. Let us get the message from this example, that in a 20-hour journey, the direction given by somebody towards our destination might be very negligible amount of time, but that is so important to save our rest of the journey and also the resources that we would be investing in the journey. Similarly, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, it may be apparent that a Vaishnava might have spent a limited amount of time. But what he has left with us in that limited amount of time is sufficient enough, is good enough for us to reach towards our destination. In comparison with all the other God brothers of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada had got very limited association with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. In totality put together, Srila Prabhupada wouldn't have had maybe like 20 hours together, maybe 30 hours. Very negligible if you compare the entire contribution that Srila Prabhupada has given towards the parampara. But what made Srila Prabhupada do this is because of his genuine endeavor or genuine desire to help others. Much before coming in contact with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada was genuinely concerned about bogus gurus, genuinely worried about helping others. There was a natural inclination for contributing something good for the society. And that's what I'm explaining this as. In our journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to have somewhere this genuinity needed. And that was the reason why an education system, a family upbringing, a cultural setup, a good ecosystem is very healthy for somebody to develop Krishna consciousness. If not, we will have to go through all the wrongdoing, get frustrated before coming in contact with such an arrangement, which is also very rare. So that is why Bharata Bhumite Phaila Manushya Janmasar Janmasar Takakari Karo Paro Patar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying the people in India are very fortunate because there is a natural ecosystem which helps us to surrender, submit ourselves to a bona fide association. So hence my first reflection towards this context of Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha is, to get a Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha 1 by 11th of a second, we need definitely to have some Shraddha towards knowing the truth. And that Shraddha should be very strong and should be very eager. With that Shraddha, Krishna facilitates us to come in contact with the person who takes us to the next level. Similar to how when I am traveling towards the destination, if I am genuinely looking for a direction and the direction given by somebody might be a very less amount of time in the entire journey. The entire journey is fruitful just because of that simple direction given by that person. Second reflection. What is that? That it means that I am taking advantage of a devotee association. This devotee association is a very famous, regular topic that we always, you know, refer that in every class. Chanting, devotee association, Bhagavatam, Prasadam, deity worship. These are all standard solutions. But what is that a devotee association actually means? And how a devotee association is sought? That forms the rest of the class. Like how in our last week's discussion, we discussed about why a devotee is considered as Mahajana. We gave four reasons. They are because they don't have no other focus apart from pleasing the Supreme Lord. Because they are beyond dualities. Because they are not fault finders, and because they are extremely compassionate. That is why a devotee is very, very important, or how a devotee association is important in our devotional journey. But now we will discuss the other part of it. What do we need to do as patients? We spoke last week why a doctor is important. But now we will talk about why or what is that as a patient, as a recipient, as somebody who needs this association, what is that is expected out of us? Because Lava Matra Sadhu Sangher, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu writes that it cannot be compared even to the attainment of heavenly planets or even liberation. What to speak of worldly benedictions? So if that is something so important, what is that we are expected of? So there are four principles as a part of devotees association. Anytime when we say we are associating with the self-realized soul, we need to understand these four principles. There may be 40 more, but these four are something to reflect upon when I am associating with a devotee. Once, one of our God brothers mentioned that Lava Matra Sadhu Sangher is so valid statement, because when somebody associates with a devotee for 1/11th of a second, that devotee is so special or is so nice that he makes you stay with him for another 1/11th of a second. For another 1/11th of a second. For another 1/11th of a second. A devotee is so expert that he knows to retain you with him for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So 1/11th of a second is not just a passing second. It is that moment you come in contact with the devotee grabs us, because he is constantly thinking, how can I help Supreme Lord Krishna by winning more and more souls? So just by getting 1/11th of a devotee's association, all we are going to gain is another 1/11th of him, another 1/11th of him, another 1/11th of him. That way, the consistent or persistent association is assured, provided we take care of the first part. Or the first reflection. So, as a part of the devotees association, the principle, four-pointed principle, as a patient or as a recipient, that we need to take into consideration to make an effective utilization of Vaishnava association. Srila Prabhupada explains, a mosquito sitting on the lap of a royal king's throne. The mosquito sitting on the lap of the king, who is sitting on the throne, can think that he is sitting on a throne for a few seconds. As soon as the king see the mosquito biting him, the life of the mosquito is gone. So just by physical proximity with a Vaishnava, considered as our association, is a complete illusion. Because Krishna consciousness association is not about physical proximity, it is about consciousness proximity. So it is extremely important that we learn to understand this particular part of Vaishnava association, which is learn to inherit the mood of the Vaishnava and ignore our own mood. So the first principle when you deal with self-realized souls is how to inherit the mood of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada's big hit, being a successful acharya in the disciplic succession over all his other God brothers, is Srila Prabhupada exactly inherited, understood, empathized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's mood and the entire parampara's mood, that he was so successful. Even though apparently he has been given an allegation that he left Gaudiya Math. So Srila Prabhupada was so confident, he was so sure, he was so genuine that he is not moving an inch away from what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj wanted. So just to make sure that he fulfilled the promise and the commitment that he gave to his spiritual master, he didn't mind about his own allegations and stuck to the mood his Guru Maharaj had set. If at all we want to benefit from a Vaishnava association, you may get a Lavamatra association. The devotee may be smart enough and compassionate enough in giving more association of him to us. And our beginning point of the association could be we are genuine. But the journey can be much more fruitful provided we remember these four principles. So hence, when we are associating with some senior Vaishnavas, when we are associating with some self-realized souls, when we are associating with some rare Sangha, watch out not for externals, watch out for the mood. Watch out for their responsiveness towards spiritual sentiments. Watch out for what they have feelings for the entire parampara, which is completely out of material world. Because from our context, we see everything with respect to what I gain, what I benefit, and what is a fault and what is a benefit. But from a Vaishnava's context, he does not see any personal gain or loss. Rather, he sees only one thing. How do I fulfill the orders of my spiritual master? Hence, the first thing that we need to watch out for is the mood. So if you want to take better advantage, we need to understand the mood. I'll give an example. Pundarika Vidyanidhi was glorified by Mukunda. So Mukunda mentioned to Gadadhar Pandit that Pundarika Vidyanidhi is such a great Vaishnava saint. Please come and have an association with him. Please come and have an audience with him. Mukunda gave such a glorious feedback and, you know, description about Pundarika Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit immediately wanted to see him. As soon as Mukunda took Gadadhar Pandit to Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he was sitting on the royal throne, chewing pan with some girls dancing in front of him, and Gadadhar Pandit thought for a while, saying that how come this person is given such an importance by Mukunda? Gadadhar Pandit did not state about it. He was just thinking in his mind. He was a bit suspicious looking at Pundarika Vidyanidhi, who is chewing pan, having Apsara dancing, sitting on the royal throne, wearing a very glorious dress. Realizing this, Mukunda chanted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Barha peetam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaram. Finally, he said, Vrindaranyam swapataramanam ravishad Gita Kritihi. He chanted the whole verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says how the Lord is wearing a wonderful peacock feather ornament upon his head and have a blue karnikara on his ears, yellow garment. He has a Vaijayanti mala, and he was explaining about the beautiful feature of the Supreme Lord. As soon as Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, he fainted. He started rolling on the floor. The hairs on the body started to, you know, stand on its end. That's when Gadadhar Pandit realized his mistake. He says, sometimes we need to understand that in a Vaishnava association, more than the appearance, more than the dress, more than the address, please watch out for the mood. And Krishna entire parampara does not care for our dress and address. They only watch out for our attitude. So hence, first principle that we need to take care in a Vaishnava association is to understand the mood of the Vaishnava and try to inherit or at least learn about it. The second principle, as practitioners or as sincere seekers of truth, when we have Lava Matra, when we have the Vaishnava association, is to ensure that we do menial service, humble service, service to such a Vaishnava without our tag attached. The reason is, we can only learn when we do not ask for, expect for a credit. A Vidyarthi's important prerequisite for learning truth, learning Siddhanta, is not to expect credit and pass on all the credit to the superior. So in an association with a Vaishnava, when we have such a rarest opportunity, please participate in all the best possible menial service, humble service towards such a Vaishnava, and take a humble position, even though apparently you may be learned. In terms of knowledge quotient, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was considered more knowledgeable than Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, by mechanical external quotient, is illiterate. But then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj exhibited utmost humility and served Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj like anything. Srila Prabhupada writes in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the duty of every disciple, it is the duty of every follower to ensure that the credit of all the successes that he gets in his Krishna consciousness should be given to his spiritual master. And every disciple should take responsibility for his faults. This is called humility. By our education system, we have this tendency of claiming credit, trying to attract, trying to show off, trying to prove a point, trying to establish ourselves, trying to bring in prominence. These are all not going to help us gain spiritual knowledge. What is going to help us gain spiritual knowledge is to remain like a fool in front of the spiritual master. Not look like a fool, to remain a fool, in a sense, to remain subservient, not to, you know, give away our intelligence in terms of being a blind follower. That's not what Srila Prabhupada expects. But you should think yourself, you should understand ourselves completely hopeless without that person's mercy. Hence, we will show our utmost menial nature and submissive nature towards the personality. So the second principle, hence, is we need to learn not to claim any credit, not to establish our presence, rather show simple sign of humility. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Maitreya and Uddhava's context, Vidura's context, or Maitreya and Uddhava. Srila Prabhupada is explaining the concept called Madhyada Vyatikrama. Srila Prabhupada explains that this Madhyada Vyatikrama is such an important principle in our devotional life. If any practitioners of Krishna consciousness movement does not understand this, their devotional life will be doomed. And he is giving an example how Uddhava, even though he is very close to Krishna, he is giving respect to Maitreya Muni, who is senior in his age, and requesting him to speak. So we need to understand, even though apparently we may have some success rate in terms of our achievement, you need to understand that I am successful not because of my intelligence, I am successful because of the mercy. To put it in another perspective, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, all he did is bestowed his mercy upon Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and did not waste his time with 20 other, 50 other, 200 other disciples. He had one moon, who is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who had many stars under him. And Srila Prabhupada became one moon under Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and we all are supposed to be shining further and further in Srila Prabhupada's shadow, in Srila Prabhupada's shelter. So hence, we need to take an utmost menial position when we are in the association of devotees, to get the full benefit of Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha. The third principle in our association of devotees and in our association with a devotee, especially when we are seeking truth, is to avoid and to avert any offenses towards that personality. In a sense, this principle of avoiding offenses is a pretty common one, but when Srila Prabhupada was there, some of his disciples started questioning Srila Prabhupada's decision, started questioning Srila Prabhupada's direction, started questioning Srila Prabhupada's functioning. I'll give a simple episode from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. This is written in a book called Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava by Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. There was a sannyasi, disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. He was asked to go to London to preach. And when he was sent to London, so with a very hard struggle or whatever endeavor, devotees had been regularly funding his stay in London. This devotee was staying in London for maybe a couple of years without making a single person devotee. And after 3 years, he came back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. and told, "My dear Guru Maharaj, I am sorry. Your preaching and your philosophy doesn't seem to be working for the Western audience. You need to change or make it a bit adaptive for the Western audience. Then only we can make devotees." So this guy had an audacity to come and tell his own spiritual master what is correct and what is to be done. And the history says that he upset Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj so much so that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj told him that you are not even allowed to participate in my Thirubhav Tithi, which means when I leave the planet, you are not even allowed to come to that ceremony. For a person to get such a treatment from a bona fide spiritual master is considered as very, very unfortunate situation. A spiritual master is considered as very compassionate and forgiving for sure, but that cannot be used as an excuse to exercise our arrogance in dealing with a bona fide spiritual master. The difference between point number 2 and point number 3 is, point number 2, I have an exhibited clear-cut character of accepting a very humble, submissive position. And point number 3 is, just because I am submissive, just because I am a student, I should also be careful enough in my dealings in such a way I don't hurt, offend, question the integrity of this process of Krishna consciousness. Most of us become so familiar with our spiritual master, with our close association, where we tend to pass comments which are detrimental. So to put it in the context, the third principle is, avoid offense towards a spiritual master or a bona fide devotee to an extent that we lose his association. And this happens because of familiarity. This happens because of overconfidence in us in a relationship, and because of us being not careful and arrogant in our behavior. The last principle that we need to make sure in a devotee's association is constantly hearing from this association. Srila Prabhupada says we should associate with a devotee through our ears, we should judge a devotee through our ears, and Shravanam need to be an integral part of Krishna consciousness. Both Srila Prabhupada and all Srila Prabhupada's disciples, whoever is very shining and successfully contributing to Srila Prabhupada's movement, they are whoever they are because of this particular nature of them, wherein they have heard as well as they have assimilated, applied what they have heard. Shravanam, because today, the reason I am highlighting this particular point is so many disciples of the spiritual master are so busy in whatever services that they are doing, they hardly get time for their own chanting and for their own hearing. They come to the closest proximity to the spiritual master, but does not understand the spiritual master's mood, does not understand that they need to have a humble position towards the spiritual master, start commenting about spiritual master's behavior, and does not hear from them. And at one point in time, they are losing the opportunity of being with me. So hence, the fourth principle is Shravanam. And the Shravanam is a very active, empathetic Shravanam. So this four, all these four points in a devotee association is kind of integrated and cannot be separated from one another. You can understand the mood of an Acharya only when you hear him. You can imbibe the mood of an Acharya only when you are humble and menial towards him. And we can only understand the mood of an Acharya only when we stop avoiding, or when we avoid committing offenses or getting familiar in an association. So, as much as the devotees are important in our devotional life, so much it is important for us to conduct ourselves properly in such an association. If we try to ride on the compassion of a Vaishnava and just ignore our own conduct, it is not going to get any benefit for our devotional journey. Hence, we need to watch out for our association. We need to watch out for our behavior. We need to make sure in the association we imbibe the mood, we say, serve ourselves menially and avoid offenses and very focusedly hear from him so that there's a transformation. Tatvidhi pranipadena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. This particular verse refers these four points. The last principle is about, in a Vaishnava association that Srila Prabhupada is explaining in text number 55, he says, this verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Naimisharanya headed by Shaunaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that the association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices, elevation to heavenly planets, or even merging into the existence of the Supreme. Yesterday evening I was giving a Bhagavatam class in a local congregation here. We were discussing about the principle of giving up and giving in. So in our Vaishnava association, or even towards our seniors and in our prayers, we have been so much demanding for what we need. Like for example, when we pray to Krishna, we constantly pray to Krishna, and in every prayer, we don't forget to ask everything for us. So we were discussing, at some point in time in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to start learning to not ask for us, but work only to please, only to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord as well as his dear devotee. So in a Vaishnava association, even though it is our need for us to make progress, at some point in time, we need to develop this mood that I will live and I will set my priority only to please the devotee, and there is no personal agenda. So there is no personal agenda apart is such that it needs something within us to be given up, some propensities, and we need to inculcate an act, you know, a quality of giving ourselves into this process. So giving in and giving up are both needed for us to develop this no personal agenda spirit in a Vaishnava association. The moment personal agenda comes in, then the whole principle is eliminated. So the the point of lava matra will not be very effective upon us if we are not reciprocating to that association. Srila Prabhupada gave so much wonderful association. It is not on Srila Prabhupada's mistake when people left Prabhupada. Getting a lava matra association of personality like Srila Prabhupada is so rare that if somebody has left Srila Prabhupada, maybe apparently left Srila Prabhupada, it is not on Srila Prabhupada, it is on the individual who had personal agendas when they came to Srila Prabhupada. So if we also come closer to devotees association for our personal agenda, then we have some reason to be worried about, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says that those who are in the process of Krishna consciousness with a vyavasaya buddhi, they are all called pretenders. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj is very upset with such people. So for us to switch from vyavasaya buddhi to vyavasaya atmika buddhi, we need to show some character in ourselves, which is also going to be coming from this association. So what an interesting fact is, we start this association without any spiritual knowledge, with only genuinity. With that genuinity, we get such an association. In that association, we exhibit some characteristics. With that characteristics, we improvise, we increase, and we develop this genuinity to a next higher level. So much so that this association is in itself the end. That is why Krishna consciousness process, the means and the end are one and same. The means is chanting in the association of devotees, and the end is also chanting in the association of devotees. So hence, let us try to be conscious, let us try to be responsible, let us try to be accountable in a Vaishnava association, so much so that we should not misuse the rarest opportunity that we all have got, which can easily give access to Krishna, which is otherwise very, very rare. So with this I end here. And to summarize our conversation, we had three sets of reflections. Number one, that for us to get Lava Matra Sangha, which is arranged by the Supreme Lord, directly proportionate to either our genuinity, our eagerness, our curiosity for knowing the real truth, may not be from a philosophical angle, just from a quest angle. Of course, we do also get this association by the causeless mercy of the devotee, about which we don't have anything to discuss because it is causeless. That Shraddha, that endeavor, that little bit of genuinity is needed for a student, for somebody who is practicing in Krishna consciousness, and this becomes a seed, and this also becomes a very important component in the process. The second reflection is about four principles that are important to remember as a practitioner towards an association, which is very rare. Number one, we need to learn to understand the mood of the association. Number two, we need to make sure that we take a humble and a menial position. And number three, we need to learn to avoid overt offenses towards that personality, which means not to get too familiar, not to get overconfident, not to get too close. And last but not least, try to become very sincere in hearing rather than imitating their action. The last reflection is about associating without any personal agenda, with vested agenda in a Vaishnava association can deter us, and this personal agenda should be given up, and we should give ourselves into the association so much so that we are dragged, taken along in the process of Krishna consciousness, and we eventually make it the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions or comments you can discuss?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dhanyavaad. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for the very, very nice class. It was very easy to follow. You started off from the point of Shraddha and then built it on. It was very, very nice. And it is so nice to understand how important it is to understand the mode of the spiritual master. That is very nice. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for summarizing everything. And thank you all for the very nice class. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay. These topics of devotees association, it's so common that we almost know about it. But this topic of devotees association is so uncommon that we are yet to realize the power of it. The point is that in a devotees association, what is possible? Brahmanda tarite shakti tare jane jane ye veda purane gune gaye jeva suni. Shastra says, or Devaki Nandan Das, who once was Gopal Chappal, after getting initiated from Purushottam Das Thakur, he is writing in his song, Brahmanda tarite shakti tare jane jane ye veda purane gune gaye jeva suni. Says one devotee has got a power to deliver entire Brahmanda. Forget about earth, forget about galaxy. He can deliver an entire Brahmanda, just one devotee. And theoretically, for us to know this, it's very easy. For us to understand this, long way to go. So please don't ignore such topics which are very simple. There are three topics or four topics which are very obvious topics in ISKCON, which are never given, which are never so seriously or not so attentively analyzed. One is chanting. Second is about Vaishnava association. Third is about Srimad Bhagavatam study. Because we always say this in every lecture, and this becomes so obvious. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that devotee association is important. Tell me something new, Prabhuji. We tell, I know this. Tell me something new. We cannot sustain anything new. We can only reiterate. So, I'm sure you all are sincere, serious practitioners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I simply request and pray that we all take advantage of this rarest opportunity that we all have got in coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful movement. We have a lot more responsibility to execute, to fulfill the orders of our spiritual master. So let us buckle up and march forward. Hare Krishna. Are there any more questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dalak Pranam. Glory to Krishna Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's a very nice class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I have one question. Prabhu, in the devotee system, we should be very careful and be very, very humble also. It's very difficult, I don't know, for me. To develop that attitude. Prabhuji, sometimes what happens, if we see devotees, like it's If we say something, is it the offensive, Prabhu? If we say the devotee is giving class and say something, is it the offensive?
Well, generally speaking, it is like this. If is offensive or not offensive, we ourselves can perceive this. In a sense, you put yourself at the recipient side. Somebody said this to me as a very nice tip. He said, if you want to really understand a Vaishnava association, you need to have somebody junior to you in your association, somebody you should have equal to you in your association, and somebody you should have senior to you in your association. By the way, your junior treats you, you will realize how important it is for you to behave with your seniors. So it is, you cannot go on defining what is offensive, what is not offensive. Definitely it's all contextual, and maybe, you know, at different situations, the different responses is possible. But to really understand if I did an offense or not, it is only within our own consciousness how we go deep and see if my intention of interfering in a lecture or talking in a lecture or, you know, stopping in a lecture. So those are all very subjective, but you yourself will know why you did that. So as a principle, what I want to say is, the way you would be interested in being treated by your students, you should treat your master better than that, or at least at par with that. And the friends are definitely needed in Krishna consciousness, so that they can help you hear your concerns and direct you towards the right association. Srila Prabhupada says, every devotee should have association who is not just a S-boss guys. Somebody should also be somebody who can question you and direct you towards the right association. So this Sangha that you are all having is that way very, very healthy. And I'm generally reading the chats and whatever that is happening around. They are loving, caring, supportive. So from that perspective, we are all on the right track. Just that we need to keep working on eliminating one unwanted things within us. So I'm not able to specifically give a response if it is an offense or not, because it's a situational thing. But at least as a principle, I just want to say that we need to evaluate our behavior based on the way how we would be preferring to be treated. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay, Prabhu. Yeah, it's sometimes we, some senior devotees there, and some devotee requested to do something, and then in that case, or sometimes we see something in the after lecture comment, and that I was a little confused.
No, comments are never offense, provided in what mood we comment. Sarcasm, intimidation. So we do not know in what mood. So you know that. Nobody else would know that. That's why our first principle that we spoke today is very important. How genuine are you? If you do not even know how genuine are you, then let us start working on that to know how to measure our genuinity. So it's extremely important that let us know to measure our own quotients before we measure other quotients. Okay?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, thank you so much. And also, I have another question, Prabhu.
Yes.
What happens? We should be very careful not to offend. But in my case, sometimes you were telling overconfidence means we just comment some devotee, and then for me, I feel like that. So means overconfidence. Something you were telling, I forgot, but I was making the sense. Means how we come out, Prabhu, sometimes we unnecessarily tell something about devotees, you know, even though...
Be be ready to ask sorry. But please use the word sorry like a jewel. Unfortunately, we use the word sorry so casually, and we use the word thank you like a jewel. It should be other way around. We need to use the word thank you like a free flow in a Vaishnava association, not in a cheap way, but we be very thankful, appreciative, and use the word sorry as limited as possible. Not that after making a mistake, I should not say sorry. We should not even try to make a mistake. So the point is, being sorry or expressing our, you know, asking for forgiveness is something to be integrated in our behavior, because this is what I said, humble is not just a, you know, a statement of putting ourselves low. Humble means acknowledging that I made mistake, please excuse me. To say that statement, our ego will have to be, you know, crushed like anything, but better we crush our ego, else it will edge our God inside us out. So in the sense that if by accident, by mistake, by our, you know, past behavior, by our conduct, for whatever reason, if you had offended a devotee, and if you realize that you offended a devotee, please ask sorry. This time I was in a yatra. We had taken around 115 devotees from our congregation to Mayapur Dham. One day I was standing in the queue for honoring prasadam. We were discussing in the yatra, in the lectures, about the importance of devotees association, you know, harikatha and various things. One Mataji, a very old Mataji, probably she is in her 70s or something, she came to me and said, Prabhuji, I'm extremely sorry. To be very honest, I didn't know. I mean, she, even though she is part of our yatra, I mean, she is not so familiar. She's from you know, some distant contact. She said, I'm so sorry. In my last yatra, last year or the year before, when I came in the yatra, I said something rude towards you, and I feel sorry about it, and that feeling is constantly hurting me. So now I was so much hesitating, and somehow I developed the courage, prayed to Krishna that I want to somehow make sure that I, you know, ask sorry and ask for forgiveness. She is like 73, 74, very old lady. I felt so embarrassed. And I said, Mataji, I don't even remember what the episode was. I don't remember what the whole context was. But I learned a lesson. So I thanked Krishna, but I learned a lesson that there's nothing wrong, even if it is late, to go and ask sorry. Because Krishna will be very much pleased, not by the word sorry or your gesture, but by your attitude change, that I am ready to surrender, ready to acknowledge that I made a mistake. So the principle is that we may all make mistakes. That's not a problem. The problem is, how do we handle those mistakes? If you say, jane do, okay, ignore it, just TK, that's fine, then there's a problem. But if you say that, yes, I will, you know, be conscious about it and, you know, ready to ask for forgiveness, then that's good spirit. So use the word sorry like a jewel. In the sense, behave in such a way that you don't need to use sorry, and use thank you as much as possible in a real genuine sense. And this was one of my Vyas Puja prayer to Srila Prabhupada. I think last year in my Vyas Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada, I requested Srila Prabhupada to help me to be more and more thankful towards devotees and not to use the word sorry so quite often as I am currently using. And still, you know, I had to catch up on that, but at least I am meditating on that prayer. So you can kind of, you know, see if that works for you. Is it okay?
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much. It's a really, really inspiring class. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you so much, Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srimad.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, again. Thanks to everyone for joining. Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji, also for the wonderful discussion. We'll end the call.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. It's a very, very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Vancha kalpatarubhascha kripa sindhutyai vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Koti Vaishnavranda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, His grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.